You came to a church that loves God, and we're on fire for God. Amen?
Amen?
If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like you to turn to the Genesis chapter 1. And we have been talking about different covenant blessings that we have based on God's covenant that He made with us. And I've really been enjoying this, preaching this. And God is always bringing us deeper and showing us greater things. And today we're going to talk about the covenant blessing of fruitfulness. Amen? Amen?
Yes.
And, you know, God wants us to be fruitful. And let's look in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Said, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. I'm so glad I have dominion over creeps. And so God created man in his own image, in the image of God, created he him, male and female, created he them. And verse 28 says, and God blessed them. And God said unto them, be what? This is the first command that God gave to mankind. He said to be fruitful and to multiply and to replenish the earth and to subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every creeping, over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Has God changed his mind? Does God still want us to be fruitful? What that means is he wants us to be productive. He wants us to increase and to grow. He wants us to build up his kingdom. Amen? Do you realize that the only work we do that's going to last forever is the work we do for God's kingdom? Anything in the natural, though it might be good, it's not eternal. But what you do for God, how you live for God, how you invest in his kingdom, how you build up his kingdom, how you follow after his will, that's what's going to make the difference, and that's what God wants of all of us. He wants us to be fruitful individually, in our families, and as a church. God wants us to be fruitful. There are a lot of lost people in our area. And guess what? It's up to you and I to replenish the earth with the righteous. How do we do that? We tell people about Jesus. Amen? We tell them good news, which is the gospel, and the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. All we got to go around doing is telling people good news, and we become fruitful. But God wants us fruitful. That word means to bear fruit. It means to bring forth. It means to grow and to increase. And, you know, God told several people in the Bible to be fruitful. He told Noah in Genesis 9 to be fruitful. He told Abraham in Genesis 17 to be fruitful. He told Ishmael that he would be fruitful in Genesis 17, he told Ishmael. In Genesis 26, he told Isaac to be fruitful and to multiply. In Genesis 28 and 35, he told Jacob. In Genesis 41, Joseph's father prophesied that he would be fruitful and flourish. And he told, in Proverbs 128, or Psalms 128, he says, your wife should be a fruitful vine. And we should grow, we should flourish, we should increase. And I'm not necessarily talking about having children. I'm talking about how we live a productive, effective, producing life. Now, there are four things that we need to know about God's Word. And because God's word is going to help us to be fruitful. And we're going to get into this, all right? I'm warming you. I'm buttering the toast, okay? I'm giving you some hors d'oeuvres before we get to the main course, all right? I'm just whetting your appetite, okay? Number one, you got to know that God's word is creative, all right? God's word is creative. Hebrews chapter 1. Verses 1 through 4 says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. So how many know that God's got this world, he built this world with his word? And God, say, God's word is creative. Now, you know, the question was brought to me this past week. I have you say a lot of things. The reason I have you say things is that's a good point to meditate on. Amen? When you say it, you might remember it more, because the more you hear it, the more you remember it, right? So when I have you say things, that's a good point to meditate on. That's a good point to study. That's a good point to really get into your spirit. The second thing about God's word is it is prophetic, all right? God's word is prophetic. Revelation 19:10 says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, okay? See, you're not going to be fruitful without the word of God and the Holy Spirit. And we got to know that the word is creative. We got to know that the word is prophetic. We got to know that God's word is powerful. Hebrews 4:12 says, God's word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to pierce to the dividing asunder between the soul and the spirit and joints and marrow. It is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. Right now, the word can discern what we're thinking. It knows our motives. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. Fourthly, God's word is creative, God's word is prophetic, God's word is powerful, and God's word is incorruptible. Did you know that we've been born again, not by a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed? God's word cannot be corrupted. God's word is pure. Okay? And did you know that when God created you from heaven, he stamped you with a label that said fruitful? Every one of us has been created by God to be fruitful. He has enabled us. He has called us. He has equipped us with everything we need to produce. Say, I want to produce for God's kingdom. Okay? So God wants us to be fruitful. He's given us everything we need. When he blessed us, when he blessed man, that blessing is an enablement. It's an empowerment. It's an endowment of his power to do what he's telling us to do. Okay? Now go with me to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Y'all doing okay today? You know, I believe in the power of this message because God wants us to be fruitful. He created us for a purpose. And there's things that he has assigned us to do. And we've got to do it. We've got to do what God's called us to do no matter what. We've got to see it through. All right? And when you leave this earth, your assignment should be finished, not undone. So don't think about checking out early before your assignment's done. Or I might visit you when I get to heaven and say, "Hey, look, you left us with all this stuff to do. What's up with that?" Matthew chapter 3 and verse 7. we have the story here of John, who was the son of Zechariah and Elizabeth, and he was baptizing people. And it says, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers. Now that's a great way to get people's attention. You bunch of snakes. He says, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? He said, bring forth what? Fruits necessary for repentance. These Pharisees were the religious leaders of John's day. They were the ones who served in the temple. They were the ones who supposedly knew the law. And obviously, they did not have the nature of God. How many know that God's children are not known as vipers? Who do you think children are known as vipers? Right, the devil's children. And John is telling them to bring forth fruit or evidence or what are you going to produce that God has changed your life? What kind of evidence is there that God has entered into your heart and changed your life? How many know when the Spirit of God gets a hold of a man, a change is going to occur? Now, you're not going to change your hair or the way you look, but something on the inside is going to be forever changed, and whatever's on the inside is going to start working on the outside. Okay? So he says, bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the tree. Who are the trees? The trees are the people. What do trees do? Do trees produce anything? I mean, they produce fruit, right? Oak trees produce what? Acorns. Apple trees produce apples. Lemon trees produce lemons. Banana trees produce bananas. Papaya trees produce papayas. And John is saying that there's a coming thing. If there comes a point in time when we have to change, and the change is fruit. Okay? He said, therefore, every tree which brings not forth good fruit is what? If you're a person and you're not producing fruit for the kingdom, you're eventually going to get cut down. Is that what the Bible says? Did he say some trees that don't bring fruit? No, he said every tree which brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and what? Cast into the fire. I don't want to be hewn down, and I don't want to be cast into the fire, so I'm going to start producing fruit in my life. I'm going to start living for God. Well, you say, Pastor, well, I am living for God. Well, let's kick it up a notch. Do apple trees come on a tree once and then they're done? Do you mean that tree keeps producing fruit season after season? You know, I grew up in my backyard was an apple tree. I love that apple tree. I was a lot like Nate, man. I'd climb that apple tree. I'd go up and down. You know, we had a lot of fun in that apple tree. And every year, now, that tree just produced little apples. But the ones that were on the end of the branch that got the most sun, they would turn red. And they were the sweetest. And, you know, I'd try to get out there on the end and get the sweetest apples. But year after year, growing up as a child, that tree did not fail to produce fruit. That tree was consistent in producing fruit. Year after year, apples would show up on that tree. Fruit would appear because that's what a tree does. A tree produces fruit. And that's what you and I need to do as believers in God. We need to produce fruit. Okay? And if we don't produce fruit, then we're going to be cut down and thrown into the fire. Go with me to John 15 for a moment. John 15. Is God pleased with a little fruit? Look at John 15 and verse 2. He says, every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he what? He purges it that it may bring what? God is not pleased with just a little bit of fruit. A little bit of fruit is good, but he'll prune you. He'll take care of you. So why? So he can produce much more fruit. Our God is a much more God. He's El Shaddai, right? He's more than enough. God is always into too much. God always blesses me too much. God's goodness is just too good. His favor is just too awesome. His joy is just too much. So this bears witness with what John was saying. So when you're not bearing fruit, it's going to be taken away. But when you bear fruit, he's going to purge you so that you bring forth more fruit. And then he said, verse 4, abide in me and I in you as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. God does not expect you to bear fruit alone. The fruit that we produce comes from the work that Jesus does on the inside of us. It's the work of the cross. It's the work of the Word. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. Right now, you got the Holy Spirit. He's working in you. He leads, guides, and directs you. The Holy Spirit brought you here today. Because there's something in this message that he has for you. And there's no such thing as coincidence. I don't believe in chance. The kingdom of God does not operate by chance. It operates by faith. Okay? Go down to verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear a little fruit. Well, he didn't say a little. That you bear much fruit. That's when God is glorified. God is glorified with much. When the little boy gave his lunch, it was little to feed the 5,000, right? But after it left Jesus' hands, it became much, didn't it? Because he abided in Jesus and he allowed Jesus to abide in him, and Jesus took what he had and he multiplied it and used it to feed thousands. Okay? How many know when Peter walked on the water? You know, I read that story and something struck me. Even though Peter got out of the boat to walk on water, and he did walk on water, but he began to doubt, Jesus did not say, good job, Peter, you made it this far. He said, Peter, why did you doubt? Well, Lord, I got out of the boat. I walked on water. No one else in the boat walked on water. That's not the issue. Jesus said, he didn't say, good job, Peter, you made it this far. He said, Peter, why did you doubt? Because there was more that Peter could have done. Because Jesus was enabling Peter. Peter actually walked on the Word. What was the Word? The Word was come. Peter said, Lord, if that's you, bid me come. Come. He didn't say, come, Peter. That word was to everyone in the boat. Today, I spoke a word. That's for everyone in the boat. And anybody that wants to get out of the boat and come, you can come. Amen? You want to hunger? Hunger. Don't worry about the people who aren't hungry. If you're hungry, be hungry and show your hunger. So God is glorified when you bear much fruit. Now, I want to go over some points on how we can. Anybody want to know how to be fruitful? Okay, yeah, God wants us to be fruitful. He blesses us to be fruitful. So how can I be fruitful? I've got answers for it. I'm so glad you asked that question. Go with me to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. And you know what? I'm not in a hurry today. I'm just going to take my time. And if I don't get through all the points today, there's always next week. That's what I love about pastoring. See, as a traveling minister, you got to give it all in one shot. But as a pastor, you can take your time and you can go over things. Amen? So how can I be fruitful? Well, you have to come in contact with living waters. Look at Psalm 1. Verse 3. He shall be like a what? A tree planted by the rivers of water. Not just the river, but the rivers of water. That brings forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. I want you to want to be planted by the rivers of water. What does that mean? See, trees don't plant themselves. They get planted by squirrels or bees or whatever, or people. And God is the one who plants trees. And you are a tree, and God's going to plant you somewhere. Guess what? Some of you have been planted at VCF. Why? VCF is a river of water. Because there's lots of rivers of water in God's kingdom. He said, by the rivers. See, we are a river. But in the whole ecosystem of God, there's many rivers. Amen? We're just one river. And when God plants you here, see, you got to be planted. When you're planted next to the rivers of water, you're going to bring forth fruit. Your leaf will not wither, and whatsoever you do shall prosper. Is that not powerful? Whatever you do will prosper. It all depends on where you're planted. Now, have you ever seen a tree? It didn't like where it was planted, so it decided, I don't really like this. I'm going to just, the tree pulls up its roots, you know, and the tree goes over here, and then the tree plants it over here. See, I like it better over here. No. Have you ever seen, anybody ever see a tree do that? See, trees grow where they're planted. A tree can't grow unless it's planted. And God plants you in his house. Why? Because he wants you to flourish in his courts. And so if you want to produce fruit, you have got to come in contact with rivers of water. Your leaf will not wither. When your leaf doesn't wither, that means you're always getting radiance from the sun, the S-O-N. See, because the leaf is where photosynthesis takes place. Say that 10 times. Photosynthesis. The tree receives light. The entrance of God's word is light. And when you're planted by the river, you got the best access to the light. And when your leaf doesn't wither, you're always going to get light so that you can bask in the light, and whatever you do will prosper. That's fruitfulness. That is the embodiment of fruitfulness. So if you've been wandering, it's time to stop wandering and start let God plant you. Come on. If you want to produce fruit, and God is pleased when we produce much fruit. And a little fruit is good, but he'll prune us. You know, I used to work on trees. I got paid to climb trees. It was the greatest job in my younger days. See, this is my greatest job now because this is my calling. But God allowed me to climb trees for a season. And I saw the benefit of pruning trees. Now, we never took down trees because I worked for a tree doctor. Now, he called the guys that took down trees tree butchers, but those aren't my words. But when a tree is pruned, you remove the dead. You know, sometimes there are dead works in our life that have to be removed. There are times in our life when God has to come in and clear the temple. Some of you, he wants to clear the temple today. You got junk that's hindering you from doing all that God wants you to do. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's selfishness. Maybe it's, a resistance to what God wants. Whatever it is, those things have to be removed in order for God's work to have a finished work in us. Let God have his way. So, Lord, today, prune what needs to be pruned. Remove what needs to be removed so that your work can be accomplished in my life. You got to have a desire for things of God. Go with me to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Fruitfulness. Producing for God's kingdom. Matthew 13 and 23. If you want to produce fruit, if you want to be a fruitful person, you need to receive God's seed. But he that received seed into the good ground, what's the good ground? The good ground is your heart. Okay? Is he that hears the word and understands it? You know, it's important to hear the word of God. But it's more important to understand what you hear. You know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, but then the Holy Spirit brings understanding to it. Because you can't operate in the word unless you understand it. But when you understand it, it becomes easier to operate in. So he receives seed into good ground, he that hears the word and understands it, which also, what? Bears fruit and brings forth some 100, some 60, or some 30. You know, this is an increase in levels. And it comes through hearing God's word, it comes through understanding, and it comes through receiving his seed. And as you receive his seed into your heart, and the Holy Spirit, he'll help you understand it so that you can operate in it. And then increase is a natural result of hearing God's word and understanding it. When you hear God's word and when you understand it, you're going to increase. Because increase now takes over your nature. You get God's nature on the inside of you when you get born again. And God's nature is something that always produces, always is effective. It's always progressing. It's always going forward. Remember when the angels appeared at the tomb and the ladies were there looking? And the angel said, why are you looking for the living among the dead? See, if we served a dead God, then he wouldn't do anything, and then it wouldn't progress. But we don't serve a dead God. We serve one who conquered death. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. He's a living God, and everything that he's involved in has life. Think about this. We just discovered this yesterday. When God made man, man was a lump of clay, a pile of dirt. But something happened when God breathed into that man. God made the shell, but his life put everything on the inside. He breathed in the breath of life into man, and man became a living soul. So everything that we have on the inside of us came from God's breath. And God's breath is awesome. And who God breathes on, they get life. You know, God's breath is powerful. You know, the Bible says when the Red Sea was parted, it said it was the blast of his nostrils. So God sneezed and the Red Sea parted. True, it's in the Bible. But I want you to see that this person, this good ground, 30, 60, or 100, can you see the progression there? You know, did God expect the people he gave talents to, did he expect an increase on those talents? He gave one 5, he gave one 2, and he gave one 1, right? Each one of us, every one of us, have been given things by God. And the question is now, what are you doing with what God gave you to produce increase? Now, the guy who had one, he went and what? He buried it. In other words, he did nothing with it. And when the master returned from his trip, he had nothing to show for what he'd been given. And we don't know how much time that he actually had to do something with what he was given. But the other two, the one who had 5, he went and traded, and he got 5 more. The one who had 2, he went and traded, and he got 2 more. But the one who did nothing, the one who did nothing with what God gave him, was called a wicked and slothful servant. And what he had was taken away. And the one had was given to the one who produced something with it. So God favors the producer. What are you doing with God's will for your life? How about your family? How is God working in your family? How about your church? What are you doing? The church is the people, right? The church is not this building with the lights and the walls and the carpeting and the chairs. The church is the people. This is where the church meets. So we often call it the church because that's where the church meets. What are we doing to increase the church? Who's going to beget sheep? Do cows get sheep? Do camels get sheep? Who produces sheep? Sheep produce sheep. Okay, I'm telling you as your shepherd, sheep, go out and produce some sheep. Did God increase Abraham's flocks? He may have started off with a little, but he ended up with a lot. Why? Because Abraham walked with God. Abraham was fruitful. He went and did what God told him to leave, he left. God told him to go here, he went there. God told him to offer Isaac, he did. And so he lived a life that was fruitful. All you got to do is read Genesis 13, verse 1. Where it said the Lord God was his son and shield. He made Abraham. Abraham was very rich. And he started off not very rich, but God made him that way. Why? It's about fruitfulness. It's about what you're producing for the kingdom. What you're producing in your life. Did you know? How do you identify a false prophet? By their fruit. By what they produce. You identify a false prophet by the things that they produce. And when they produce things, it doesn't match God's word, so you know that they must be lying. They're false prophets. The Bible says that they are wolves in sheep's clothing. You can look at what kind of a life a person lives by the fruit that they produce, by the byproducts of their words and of their actions. Our fruit is before us. Guess what? We can't hide our fruit. You know, one time, there were these big evergreen trees. And close by, there was this little scrub bush. And this scrub bush would tell these big evergreen trees, I'm a peach tree. I'm a peach tree. I'm a peach tree. And these evergreens were saying, you're no peach tree. I don't see any peaches on you. You're no peach tree. You're a little bush. Now, would it make sense for that little peach tree to try to convince those evergreens that it's a peach tree? No, but I'll guarantee you, if that peach tree just has a little patience, and over time, that peach tree, peaches are going to start to appear, and all of a sudden, one summer, the evergreen says, my oh my, you are a peach tree. Why? Because the peach tree just let the fruit do the talking. See, you don't have to show what kind of person you are. You just have to let your fruit do the talking. You don't have to put a special label on yourself. Let your fruit do the talking. When a fruit is sweet, you can taste it sweet. When a fruit is sour, you can taste the sour. When a person has a sweet disposition, you'll feel the sweetness. But when they have a sour disposition, you'll feel the sourness, right? It'll make you pucker. Why? Let your fruit do the talking. Your fruit can say what you can't say. Your fruit will do what you can't do. It'll show. It'll reveal. Your fruit is on display. What you produce in your life is on display for others to see. And a good tree produces good fruit, but a bad tree produces bad fruit. And that's the Bible. Amen? Amen. All right, go to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. I'm trying to help you to produce more fruit in your life. Anybody in here today want to produce some more fruit in your life? You want to be fruitful, productive, prosperous, moving forward. Amen? John chapter 12. And look at verse 23 and 24. If you want to produce fruit, you're going to have to die to self. Everybody say, die to self. Die to self. Death can be painful. But notice what Jesus said here. Jesus answered them saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say to you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings what? Brings forth what? So death brings forth fruit. He that loves his life shall lose it. He that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. So in order for Jesus to produce in the kingdom of God, he had to die. Now, if I had in my hand here some kernels of corn, all right, would that become a stalk of corn in my hand? No, it wouldn't, because it doesn't have soil, it doesn't have water, it's still in its hard shell. But if I were to take that kernel of corn and plant it into the ground, that kernel dies. And what happens is when it dies, the shell opens up. And what's inside the shell begins to come out. Amen? And that shell will go into the ground and it'll come out of that ground with force. And it'll produce stalks of corn, what? Sometimes this high. Right? With two or three ears of corn on the stalk. But it couldn't produce that unless it died. And you will never produce the fruit that God wants you to produce unless you die to self. The Apostle Paul, who wrote half the New Testament, he said, I die how often? Daily. You know, every day that we wake up, we have a choice. Your flesh has a voice. Your spirit has a voice. Your flesh has desires. Your spirit has desires. Which one are you going to follow? And there are times, there are choices that you make that you have to put down your flesh. I've heard countless stories of people. They would tell me, oh, pastor, I didn't want to come today. Everything was against me. I had this happen, that, but I'm so glad I came today because when I came, see, they had to die to self. They had to come in spite of everything that was trying to keep them away. Everything that was trying to give them a reason not to be here. They had to put self down and they had to die to self so that they could get what God had them, what God had prepared for them. Unless a kernel of wheat fall into the ground and die, it does not produce fruit. But if it dies, it produces fruit. It will be fruitful. God wants you to live a fruitful life, a productive life for the kingdom of God. He wants you to do things. He's got assignments for you. He's got tasks for you. He's got people that you need to influence for Christ. And it doesn't matter your age. Young people, you got to reach young people. You can even reach old people. We got to reach people. Jesus is in the people business. He said, I've come to seek and save that which is lost. Who found you? How did you end up in church? Most of us didn't happen to be there one day. Maybe that might be true for some. Most of us, someone invited us. I know families who started coming to this church because their young people started coming to the youth group. Praise God for that youth group. You know, in order to get that youth group started, God put it on our hearts. We need to start a youth group. But guess what? We didn't have a youth pastor. We had me. So what did Fiona and I do? We started a youth group. And I met with that group. Our first event was a Joyce Meyer meeting. We took the youth group there. That was our opening youth group. And from there, see, we had to fall into the ground and die. See, if that little boy would have held on to his lunch, the multitude couldn't have been fed. So he had to die to his lunch. Essentially, he had to give his lunch away in order for it to feed a multitude. So we started the youth group. And there came Pastor Tony, who grew up in this church before we were here. He grew up in this church under Harvey. And he had a call of God to work with youth. And maybe some of you don't know it or not, but he rearranged his entire work schedule. He changed his entire work schedule so that he could do it. And he started helping. He was faithful. He would show up. He'd be there. We did youth camps. He was there. He was there. Then, because we were fruitful, because we died to self, you know what? Sometimes the things of God, you know, God doesn't ask us how we feel to do it. He didn't say, hey, Moses, how do you feel about going into Egypt and delivering my people? What do you think about that, Moses? He didn't consult Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He said, would it be okay, guys, if you get thrown into a fiery furnace? You know? I mean, he didn't try to convince the disciples, you know, he just said, come follow me. And he left it up to them, you know. I mean, God didn't consult with Joseph. He said, hey, Joseph, let me share this plan with you. I'm going to get you into Egypt as a slave, and I'm going to raise you up to a good position. What do you think about that? How do you feel about that? Why? God doesn't necessarily, number one, God doesn't go by feelings. God is a spirit, and you got to be led by the Spirit of God. But you know what? If we hadn't started that youth group, I mean, look at one of the members of our youth group plays in worship. He's using his gift that God gave him. And I remember when he was taking piano lessons and then he switched to the guitar because he liked the guitar. And look at him now. You're bearing fruit. You're being fruitful. You're taking what God's given you, and you're using it. Sometimes we got to die to ourselves. Sometimes our worst enemy is ourself. Ourself gets in the way. When the Spirit of God moves and you hear a call to come up front and to have the hands of yourself is telling you, what are people going to think? What's going to happen if I go up front? I don't want to go up front. You're having an argument with yourself. You need to get over yourself and yield to God. So if you want to produce fruit, you got to die to self. When you serve God, self comes second. God comes first. People don't understand that. God comes first. When you get born again, God is first. He's not ninth or tenth on the list. He's not third or fourth. He is first. Everything else is second to God. Go to John chapter 15. And I may give you one more or two more. We're obviously going to go into this for next week. Why? Because I believe God wants us to be fruitful. If God wants us to be fruitful, then the first thing he's going to do is give us his word on fruitfulness so that we have faith to be fruitful. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If God wants you to do something, he's going to give you his word on it so that you can do it, because that's where the faith comes to do it. John 15:5. If you want to be fruitful, you have to abide in him. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Isn't that awesome? What does it mean to abide? Man, it means to hang out in God. It means to dwell in God. It means to be faithful in God. You know, there's an exchange that takes place. God removes our stony heart out of us, and he puts in its place a stone of flesh, one that is pliable. You know, years ago, when I was growing up in Illinois, friends of mine and I, we would go to this ceramic place, and once a week, we would work with ceramic, and we would find something we want to work on. And to this day, my mom has some owls that I painted back then when I was, you know, it's in her house. Anyway, we would take the ceramic, we would scrape off the edges, you know, so it's nice and smooth. Then we would paint it. Then we would put it in the fire. Because the fire then would harden the paint and it'd make it nice and glossy and shiny and real smooth. And, you know, that's what God has to do with us sometimes. You know, sometimes he has to apply some heat or some pressure in our lives. But when we are abiding in God, it's like putting that thing in the oven. And the oven does a work on the ceramic. It hardens the paint. It makes it shine. It makes it glisten. And God wants to do a work in you, but he wants us to abide in him. Abide in his word. Let his words abide in you. We've got to memorize scripture. We've got to read the Bible. You can't be a successful Christian and never read the Bible. You've got to read it so that you can know it, so that you can do it. And in doing that, we become fruitful. We become productive. I mean, John the Baptist didn't have a church. He had a river. He was in the wilderness. And people from the cities would flock to the wilderness to hear John. That tells me you can have a church anywhere. And people would come to the wilderness with no chairs to hear him preach and to get baptized in the water. And I'm sure that that water wasn't always warm. I heard a story from Lester Sumrall one time. And he was invited to go to China. And he was going to do a baptismal service in China because these Chinese believers had gotten born again. And so Lester Sumrall went. And, you know, in China, you got to do things secretively. You know, because they don't allow you to convert people openly. And anyway, so he gets this group of believers, and they're going down to the river to be baptized, and they're carrying these axes and these picks. And Lester Sumrall looks at him, he says, what are the axes and the picks for? He says, well, that's to break through the ice so that we can get baptized. But here's what happened. Those people, they broke through the ice to get baptized. And when they were being baptized, the Holy Spirit was descending on them. People were coming up out of the water, speaking in tongues and being filled with the Holy Ghost. And it was like the water, it didn't even have an effect on them. They were so hungry for God that they would be willing to go through icy waters to get baptized. That's someone who abides in God, who's not afraid to have some passion about the things of God, who's not afraid to get into the things of God. You got to abide. You got to be comfortable in God. Somewhere you abide is somewhere you're comfortable. And Jesus said to abide in me and I in you. Did you know that you have God's nature on the inside of you? There's a divine exchange that takes place when you get born again. He puts his nature in you. He puts his strength in you. When you wait upon the Lord, what happens? Your strength is renewed. People who are weak, they obviously haven't been spending time waiting on God. Uh-oh, did I say that? It's true, isn't it? If you wait upon the Lord, you shall renew your strength. Isaiah 41 or 40. Whichever chapter it is there. But if you don't wait on the Lord, then you can't get your strength renewed. You know what the Bible says? Let the weak say, I'm what? Strong. So when someone is going around saying, I'm weak, I'm weak, I'm weak, well, you haven't been waiting on the Lord, and you got the wrong message. All right, one more? Got time for one more? So let me just do a quick review before I give you this last one here. If you want to produce fruit, you have to come in contact with the rivers of water. You have to receive God's seed, hear it, and understand it. You have to die to self. You have to, this is a good one. John 15:2. I kind of mentioned this one before, but every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, or he prunes it. You have to, let's go to Romans 6. I'm gonna end here. Romans 6. This is what God wants right here. Romans 6, verse 22. If you want to produce fruit, you have to become a bondservant of God. Look at Romans 6:22. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and to the end everlasting life. What does it mean to be a bondservant? It means that you've been set free, but you love your master so much that you just want to hang around him. A bondservant would have his ear pierced. His master would be a free man. He'd be liberated. He has the choice. He has the ability to choose. But because he has established a relationship with his master, he would say, I choose you, master, and I want to be with you, master. I want to be part of your family. And the master would be obligated to take him, the bondservant, as part of his family. And the master would protect him and provide for him and take care of him. Come on. If you want to produce fruit, you got to become a bondservant of Jesus. You've got to want to be around Jesus because you love him. You've got to want to do what he wants you to do because you love him. Because God is so good. God is so loving. God is so faithful. God is so full of joy. Let me tell you something. You will not meet any more joyful person than God. Our God likes to have fun. That's why he created laughter. That's why he said a merry heart does good like a medicine. Jesus is into a merry heart. I mean, God has such a good time, he laughs at the devil. He laughs at the atheist. Can you believe Gabriel and Michael? They don't believe I exist. God has a good time in heaven. But we got to become his bondservant. We've got to do what he wills. We got to be like Jesus in the garden and say, not my will, but yours be done in my life. You know, everybody can, you can spend your time focusing on the natural part of life. Taking care of this, and you know what? This is where we all live. We all live in a natural life, right? We all have things that come up, things that we have to deal with, problems that we have to solve, things that we have to do. I mean, you know, our clothes don't jump into the washing machine and wash themselves, right? We got to wash clothes. You know, we got to clean the house. We got to do all kinds of things. But you know what? God will help you in all those things. And he said you can redeem the time simply by understanding what his will is. Ephesians 5, you can read it. He says, understand what God's will is. What is God's will for your life? That's what you have to do. You have to commit your life to doing God's will, no matter what. No matter where he sends you, no matter where he takes you, no matter where he leads you, you've got to be committed to doing what God wants you to do, no matter what. And when you do that, when you take that attitude and that stance, God will bless you. He will create opportunities for you. He will redeem the time. And in part of redeeming the time, and he goes on to say, be not drunk with wine where it is excess. Too many people are drunk with the world's things. They fill themselves up with the things of the world. The things that they do, they don't honor God. They either honor themselves or honor something else, but they don't honor God. And it's not going to amount to a hill of beans for nothing. At the end, it's just going to all burn up by fire. Only the things that are going to remain are the things we do for God with the right heart and a right attitude. Some of you have an opportunity today to come closer. God is calling some people today to draw near to him. And in doing so, he will make your life a fruitful life. Jesus said, the thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to what? To give you a life what? More abundantly. God wants you to have an abundant life. Everybody say abundance. Abundance. Do you like that word? Is that a good word? Yeah. Well, it's all about being fruitful. God wants us to bear much fruit. Maybe in your life you've borne a little fruit. That's good, but God will prune you. He'll remove the unnecessary things from our lives so that we can become more fruitful. Amen? So God is calling some people today to become more fruitful. Amen? I want everybody to bow your heads. Close your eyes. Let God ask you this question. If I was God, I'm asking you this question, do I have all of you? Jesus is saying, I've given you all of me, but the question is, do I have all of you? Do I have your heart, your soul, and your strength? Do I have the best of you? And only you know the answer to that question. But God, this is a day where we can produce more fruit. The goal for today is to be fruitful. and to multiply and to take dominion. And it doesn't matter what the answer to the question is. If you want to be more fruitful, I want you to come up right now. If you want to live a more productive life, a more full life, I want you to come up right now and receive a touch from God to help you do just that. Now, it may mean that you have to eliminate some things. And the best way, the first step in being fruitful, is giving your heart to Jesus. If you're not born again, if you don't know for certain that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, then you need to know Jesus. You need to get born again. Jesus said you must be born again. Is there anybody here today that would say, Pastor, I'm not born again, but I would like to. I would love the opportunity to lead you to Jesus. But it's time for us to be a fruitful church. I mean, God's positioned us on a hill for a reason. And we've got to affect the people in our communities and in our neighborhoods with the power of the gospel, with the Word and the Spirit working together. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you're calling us into a deeper walk. You're calling us into a more fruitful life. And by your Holy Spirit, you're going to enable us, Father, to be fruitful and to multiply and to take dominion in the name of Jesus. So, Father, let the power of God come into us right now. Let the presence of God and the person of Christ come here right now and instill fruitfulness into these, Father, who have come up in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, in Jesus' name, be fruitful and multiply in Jesus' name. Be fruitful and multiply. Oh, hallelujah. You haven't seen the joy that will come. Woo! Joy is coming to you in greater measure, greater dimension, and greater degree. Oh, oh my goodness. Be fruitful in Jesus' name. Be fruitful and multiply. Father, strengthen her right now. Lord, give her strength, Lord, to stand on the word. Having done all to stand, God instructs you to stand. Stand strong. Oh, stand your ground. Don't give place to the enemy. You know what you know in your heart. You know in your heart. God speaks to you. God has conversations for you. Oh, just step it up. Kick it up a notch. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, just bless her. Bless her business, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Lord, let her experience the glory of your presence in greater degree. Father, right now, shukuraboka satara mama mama. Ila barroso toroboka satara baka satara mama mama. God wants you to know he loves you. He loves you. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, be fruitful and multiply. Lord, just spark that fruit. Breathe the breath of life, Father, that she has a more fruitful and productive life. Even greater, greater, greater. Hundredfold. Hundredfold. In the name of Jesus. Yeah, God's going to be so good to you. You wonder if you can even handle his goodness. You can, because he loves you. Just rest in his love. Be confident in his love. His love will hold you up. Hallelujah. Oh, you've come so far, but there's so much more to do. Oh, the journey is going to be great. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Fruitfulness, increase, prosperity, heart's desires coming to pass. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Oh, yes, Father. Let that mantle of fruitfulness come upon him now. In the name of Jesus. Fruitful, fruitful, productive. Oh, any disease that stands in his way, I kick the disease out of the house right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I'm stopping that thief in the name of Jesus. stealing time, stealing money, stealing energy. No more. I'm shutting the door on the devil in Jesus' name. Oh, you're going to reach greater heights. You're going to reach greater heights. Get on your climbing gear because you're going up. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, oh, I give you thanks and praise that they are fruitful and they multiply. Father, take their seed sown and multiply it back unto them. In the name of Jesus, Lord, give them a divine supernatural increase of multiplication. And I thank you, Lord, that they are going to get it. They got it, Father. They have it in the name of Jesus. Oh, I give you thanks and praise that for your glory and for your honor, Lord, you seal it with your word and with your presence in Jesus' name. Fruitful and multiply. Fruitful. 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 There's no such thing as a dead end on Fruitful Avenue. God's got fruit that he wants you to produce. I call forth that dormant fruit like Lazarus was called forth. And I say in the name of Jesus right now, like what they did to Lazarus, I say be loosed and let go. Lazarus was loosed from the grave and his grave cloth so that he could go on and fulfill his purpose. So, Father, right now, I loose him into divine purpose. Increase. Increase in fruitfulness. Oh, I give you thanks and praise. Father, these are blessed hands. Whatever these hands touch, Father, prospers. Whatever you put your hand to, the Bible says, it shall prosper. Father, I thank you that every desk, every paper, every deal prospers in the name of Jesus because these hands touch it, Father. And I give you thanks and praise. Lord, family, family, in the name of Jesus, I'm calling them in, Father, right now. These family members, they're coming into the kingdom. They're coming under the blood. Lord, they're coming to